And I'm going to start right out with some music from my first guest. Only this is, really, Paul's song. We're going to start out with a song from Larry Moranti. He is here, and he's going to play for you. And if you're smart, you're going to head on over to Oysterville on Sunday and catch him in a fabulous house and a fabulous house concert. Here we go. Thanks for being here, folks.
Paul painted a flag on his garage door. I thought that meant I knew his heart and mind. I made a mind, I made a joke before I met this old soldier who changed it for me in no time. He looks kinda right, but he's on the left. He's better at the middle than anyone I've ever met. He keeps his arms wide open to the ones coming home. All those battered young women and men. How could he raise old glory like it was his friend? Why would he ever salute again? He didn't look away. He didn't look away. He just took those colors back his way. He said he didn't know the flag before he went to war. Till his purple heart of gold became an open sore. Yes, he drank for a reason, and when he gave up those demons, he found what those colors stand for. How could he raise old glory like it was his friend? Why would he ever salute again? Stripes and stars remind us of who we still are. It's not a blanket or a shield. It's raw and flawed and not all healed. He's got it where the neighborhood can see he still thinks it's good. He just took those Paul painted a flag on his garage door. I thought that man I knew his heart and mind. I was wrong, and that's a fact. And if I could, I'd take it back. Just like he took those colors. The way he took those colors. Like he took those colors back his way.
Is my guest, Paul Moranti, who is sitting right here with us. Hi, Paul.
Larry. The song is Paul. That's all right. You can call me anything you want.
The brain is a very challenging thing, let me tell you. I'm looking right here. It says Paul's song. So
Paul Moranti.
Paul Moranti. I don't know anybody by that name, but hey, we could find someone, I'm sure. Larry Moranti singing Paul's song. Next to Larry, I have our wonderful Sydney Stevens. Hi, Sydney.
Hi, Carol.
Sydney's not going to talk too much, I have a feeling. But she came, and she is the host for the house concert. And so I wanted her here to maybe tell us what it's like, so maybe more of us in this audience can think about having house concerts. Sydney came up with the idea of people bringing their own chairs. I loved it. You don't have to do that at her house, though. But meantime, Larry, welcome back. We were just trying to figure out
to be here,
when the last time you were here.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, good to be back.
Where do you live?
I'm from West Seattle, and I'm out here doing a residency at the...
Did you hear that, folks? Not Seattle, but West Seattle.
Well,
I think
West
it's,
Seattle.
You know, yeah, it's different.
It's on the other side of that big bridge.
That's
not
good.
Quite as big as this bridge. But...
So you're here because you're doing a residency.
Yeah, the Willapa Bay Artist in Residency Program, right about a half a mile before you get into Oysterville. It's there on Douglas Road, founded by Cindy Hayward. Mm-hmm. And this is the second year they've been doing it.
Yeah, how did you get involved in that?
I had some friends that were some of the first people involved in it last year, and so I applied and got in. And
so what is that? What does it mean to have a residency?
Well, it's a month-long residency, and there's six different artists. I'm the only musician. There's and it changes month to month, and they do it from March to, I think, October.
But you're all there at the same time?
And all there at the same time. We have we share one meal together a day, and that ends
up... Are you allowed
up...
to talk?
Oh, yeah.
You know, if it were a monastery, you wouldn't. So,
oh,
you know,
right. No. We don't meditate or anything.
Okay.
Well, some of us do. Yeah, and we meet once a day, and there's two poets right now, and there's a novelist and two visual artists and me, and they throw a musician in there for spice.
That's good. So how does it work, though? Do you all go off in your own space?
Yeah, we each have our own cabin.
Oh,
and,
that's nice.
Three meals a day, and we just meet for dinner. The rest of the time is our own, and we just kind of hang out and talk at dinner for every night for 2-3 hours.
And lovely.
It reminds me of, remember that movie, My Dinner with Andre?
Oh, yes, I love that. Two
That's
guys.
The kind of discussions we have. It's just,
wonderful.
You know, topic to topic, and it's just very interesting.
And do you share your work with the others? Or
yeah, we did have a sharing night. I played a few songs, and the poets read, and and we went into the studios, and... It was very interesting.
Will there be a final kind of thing at the end where you share?
Tonight is the final, yeah, because we're all...
But not a public...
Not public.
Oh, no, not a showing, no.
Okay.
Some groups, some months...
Everybody
that
was
happens.
About to get over there.
No, some months they seem to do that and some groups don't. Every group seems to be different. Some groups interact a lot with the people of Oysterville. This group we've hardly seen anybody except Larry, because we know Larry, but everybody's been nose to grindstone, I think, really working on their projects.
Workers.
Yeah.
And they're from all over or mostly Northwest?
Yeah, there's one from South Dakota, one from Amherst, one from Korea.
Wow.
One from Cleveland.
This is
Portland.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So... is there somewhere on the web people can go to find out about
this? Yeah, willapabayair.com, I think it is, or .org, maybe.
Air as in artist in residence,
right.
A-I-R.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Fabulous. So that's what brought you here, and you've been hiding out all this month. I didn't even know you were here. I know because Sydney let us know you were going to be giving us a house concert on Sunday. And I will let folks know right now, it's at 4 p.m. in Oysterville. You need to call and reserve a spot, 360-665-4716. And I highly recommend it. From Larry's music, which I enjoy and play on my folk show, also from having visited Sydney's house for my first concert a couple of months ago, and it was terrific. And everybody comes together and says it. So you've been making music for a long time.
First album came out in 1994, and they're far apart. The next one was 2000, and the next one after that was 2009, and Hopefully the next one will be next year.
It's like family
this
planning. This is good for you. All right. Well, so this one that we just played from Point of Entry is your latest, 2009. And I asked you to play a tune here today. What are you going to play for us?
Well, the house concert that I'm doing on Sunday at Sydney's house is haunted. Mm. And this is about the ghost. I don't know if Sydney wants to say anything about Mrs. Crouch.
I do want to say something about Mrs. Crouch. Mrs. Crouch lived, the house that we live in now, our family house, was the parsonage for the church across the street. Just for a few years, and the first preacher that was at the church, Reverend Crouch, brought his young wife and daughter, and then he had to go on a church call up the Willapa River, and something happened on that church call, and Mrs. Crouch drowned under mysterious circumstances. So she has been the ghost in our house for all of these years, and some unusual things have happened. I've written about her often, and the first time Larry ever came to our house in 2003, we hadn't met Larry, and he was recommended by a mutual friend, and so we offered him a place to stay after the concert, as we do with out-of-town artists, and the next morning at breakfast, I mentioned Mrs. Crouch, and Larry was very interested, and he wanted to know more about it. But the more we told him about Mrs. Crouch, the whiter he became. He paled and hurried through his breakfast, went right upstairs, packed up, and off he went. And as he left, I said, "Well, Larry, I hope you'll come and do another house concert for us." And he said, "Well, I don't know." And maybe. And Betty said, "I think I'll bring my wife with me if I come again," which he did once, didn't you?
But I did, yeah.
Yeah, but then in the next couple years, he wrote, he asked me for lots of information, and he wrote this fabulous song, which I think was sort of Larry's exorcism.
Oh, that's
because
great.
Now he will come and stay with no worries.
There you go. Well, you know, I
don't know about no worries.
I have to tell you that I did play a little of this on my show last week, but only part of it. And I told people, in order to find out what happens, they're going to have to listen in for you live or come to the concert.
Teaser.
And didn't you at the Oysterville Church, when people were performing some of the books, wasn't that story part of it?
Yes, yeah. Mrs. Crouch has often
That's
been
a powerful story.
Part of Showwater Storytellers.
Right.
But Larry, I have to say, Larry has his own twist on it, you have to pay attention, but he has his own twist, and that's the part I think Mrs. Crouch really likes.
Oh, great. Here we go. Larry Moranti.
There was a ghost in my bedroom. She died in 1892. Her husband, the preacher, could only save the child. He said he did all he could do. Well, she washed ashore with bumps and bruises and marks around her neck. The sheriff had to rule it an accident, but he always wondered in retrospect. But I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. At night I'd wake and I'd hear her singing there. When I'd open my eyes, she'd vanish in. Most of the oysters were gone from Oysterville by the time the Crouches came to stay, to live at this parsonage with its brand new church for the ones here left to pray. And this new preacher's wife pure innocence. Well, the voice calming as rain. In my room, she'd sing her little girl to sleep when the daylight began to wane. But I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. At night I'd wake and I'd hear her singing there. When I'd open my eyes, she'd vanish in thin air. Well, they found out that the preacher was really no preacher. He was not a righteous man. He had two other wives in waiting, far away in another land. He was not a righteous man. Here I stand, years later, outside this parsonage of my youth. I moved away from here 30 years ago, but I still think about you and your child, my mother's mother, and I'm your great-grandson. I came back here to tell you it's all right to leave this place, 'cause your work down here is done. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. When I was a boy, she was a ghost that roamed my house. I was never scared of Mrs. Crouch. At night I'd wake and I'd hear her singing there. When I'd open my eyes, she'd vanish in thin air. Ooh.
That's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Some of the facts have changed since I wrote the song.
It's the folk process, isn't it?
It's the folk process,
yes,
right.
Yes,
and history process.
That's right, that's true.
We found out a lot more about her and about him, mostly.
About the preacher. The preacher, yeah. The lack of preacher, we should say.
Well, he really was a preacher. We found out later that he did have a preacher's license or whatever.
Whatever that means, yeah.
right. For
back
him.
In those days,
for
right.
Him, right.
Well, yeah, whoever. Well, now, judging by the two songs of yours that we just heard, Paul's song and Mrs. Crouch's song, that's quite a variety. So in your writing, the first one also sounds like it's based on, it could be based on, reality.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The flag.
Yeah, those two are story songs. I don't always write them, but it's kind of my thing. I kind of like writing about people I meet or things, people I hear about, like Mrs. Crouch.
What else?
Hopefully, I'll never meet her.
Especially tonight and tomorrow night.
Right? Yeah, right.
Well, I write about my family a lot, and especially when I was younger, when I was a kid, wrote about a lot of. The happenings in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, where I grew up. I moved out here in 82. So I grew up in a small town, Nazareth, where they make Martin guitars and where Mario Andretti is from. And,
oh, my.
During this residency, I wrote a song about my childhood neighbors, my crazy neighbor who lived next to us for many, many years.
And who's still with you all these years later. That's interesting. Yeah, must have been pressure. So on Sunday at the concert, the house concert, Are we going to hear some of your newer material?
Oh, yeah.
As
yeah,
well
I'll
as
play that
some
one.
Favorites.
Property Line is the name of that. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. The brand new one you'll play?
Yeah, I'll play that.
Wow.
I have another brand new one, but I can't play it because I tear up too much, so I have to play it another 100 times or so.
Wow. This is intriguing.
Some songs are like that.
When did you say your first album came out?
94.
94.
Yeah, so I'm an old man.
Excuse me. Everything is relative, right,
yeah, I guess
Sydney?
So.
Right. Okay. Well, I am very much looking forward to hearing you on Sunday and visiting with Sydney again. The phone number to call, 360-665-4716. It's a 4 p.m. concert. Oysterville is at the top of the peninsula. And you can also talk to Larry and Sydney about this Willapa Bay Artist in Residence program if you're interested in that, because spread the word. It sounds like a fantastic program. I just wondered for you, Sydney, since you are a writer and have been writing for many years about many different things, especially about this region, mm-hmm. when you hear, for example, Larry's written a song about one of these. How does that?
I love it. Yeah. In fact, and Larry did ask me a lot of questions. I sent him all the material I had about Mrs. Crouch and waited to see what he would do with it. And then since that time, I have written a couple of books, but one in particular, Ghosts of the Long Beach Peninsula.
Yes.
The lead story is about Mrs. Crouch, about from my point of view, mm-hmm. but Larry also graciously allowed me to use the words from his ballad in it. So Larry is
collaboration.
Published, yeah, published,
yeah, published.
In, yeah, in a book as well as on record.
And you are deeply involved with this ghost now, Larry.
Oh, I am. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
This is great.
He did mention sleeping with the ghost.
I know. I'm listening. We're listening
a little bit.
Hey, thank you both so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you so much
and,
for having me, Carol.
Is there anywhere? And any other way that folks might check in about the tickets on Sunday?
They can email me at Sydney, it's S-Y-D-N-E-Y, of Oysterville, all one thing, Sydney of Oysterville at gmail.com. And there is still space, and
okay.
It's a very fun time. You get to talk to Larry. And
you get to eat goodies.
Maybe
and
meet Mrs. Crouch, you can't tell.
You never know. She
and,
might show up.
And I would say this would be a great opportunity to meet Sydney if you haven't, because she is, I would say, the most prominent local historian, goes way, way, way back. Well, she doesn't, but her family does.
I feel like I do, actually.
Especially today, huh?
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Carol.
And it's great to see you again,
thanks.
Larry.
Thanks so much.
You'll be back again in another how many? No, you're going to come out with a new album and you'll
yes,
come back.
Hopefully
okay.
in the next year.
Sounds great.
Thanks.
All right. Larry Moranti in concert on Sunday in Oysterville. Okay, folks, I have a piece for you, and this is Sweetwater. They're going to be at the Adrift Hotel on April 1st and 2nd, and they'll also be on the folk show on the 2nd. That's Wednesday and Thursday nights.
To this land, I am no stranger, for I've been here all my years. Like my father who came before me, I was born and I'll be buried here. I know these hills and I know these hollows like the back of my hand. Every tree I am familiar, and it's here I'll make my stand. Over my dead body you'll take my family's land. Over my dead body you won't take my family's land. can move mountains, and as it turns out, so can man. For that dark cold that lay below them, it's worth more than all the land. So they showed up from the city with their promise and their plan. But I turned down every offer, and it's here I'll make my stand. Over my dead body, you won't take my family's land. Over my dead body, you won't take my family's land. Bought up all around me, turned these mountains upside down, filled the valleys with the hilltops, turned our rivers brown. Now I stand here by mother's gravestone, and I take in that old view, though I hardly even recognize it as a place that I once knew. Over my dead body, you won't take my family's land. Over my dead body, you won't take my family's land. Over my dead body, you won't take my family's land.
Sweetwater String Band. And again, they're going to be at the Adrift Hotel on April 1st and 2nd. And they'll be right here on the Folk Show on April 2nd. That's a Thursday. And it was a very lively tune. And I have some very lively people here in the studio. And I'm very excited. And I first have a big congratulations to give them. As soon as I get my act together here we go. And that's because these are three members of the Astoria Pizzazz Dance, Astoria High School, I should say, Pizzazz Dance Team. And they have just won the number one, the first place at the state championships 2015. And this is pretty exciting. You know, we live in a remote part of the state, and here we are able to train and excite people about dance. These three young women don't know that dance is my thing, too. So that's why I just had to have you come in and wish you a congratulations in person. And the high school is wishing them and the community a congratulations at an assembly and presentation this Monday, that's the 30th, at 2:50 p.m. in the high school gym, and they'll tell you what's going to happen there. Meanwhile, though, I want to thank them because it's spring break, and they came in anyway. Jenny Newton, bless her heart, was able to round you up, I gather. So, thank you so much. I have Claire Heligso. Hi, Claire.
Hi, guys.
And Jessica Barber.
Hi.
And Megan McCall DeVos.
Hey.
I got it all in there, huh? Okay. So are you, what years are you in school?
I'm a senior.
You are?
Yeah. I'm a junior in high school.
Okay.
And I'm a junior as well.
Okay. So two juniors and a senior. So Claire, what are you doing next year? Are you going to dance your way into college?
You know, that's a great question.
Or onto New York stage?
I'm still trying to decide. I've been accepted into a couple of nursing programs for colleges. Yeah. But I'm also thinking about taking the dance route, but I need to choose between which one I want to do, so
when
I'm still trying to decide.
When you say nursing, do you mean going into a four-year program or a two-year?
A four-year.
A regular four-year. Oh,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, then you can dance for your patients, too.
Oh, yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, dance is one of the most important art forms because it's in all of us. If you just look at children, right? They're all over the place. They don't even need music. They just start moving. And so tell me about yourselves. Have you been dancing forever or did... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're shaking their heads, yes.
Probably around the age of 4, I guess.
Yeah, I started at 2.5.
Yeah, we all started at a really young age.
In taking classes here in town or just doing it on your own or what?
We actually all attend the studio in Warrenton, Maddox Dance Studio. It's owned by our coach, Jeannie Peterson. So we all have grown up together and then went on to do the high school dance team together as well.
Which is wonderful. Now, Jeannie's been here, right here where you're sitting also, and I had a very hard time believing it, but she said she's had the Maddox Dance Studio for something like 55 years. And when you look at Jeannie, you go, no way! But it's true. And we're delighted to say that both Jeannie Peterson and her sister Judy Bigby are being honored as Lady Liberty. I don't know whether you knew that. At the Liberty Theater, they're going to be honored.
Wow. I had no idea. That's amazing.
You need to congratulate her. Yeah.
Just tell her a little birdie told you or something like that. So when you were that tiny, though, you didn't go up to your parents and say, I want to dance. Who started you? Whose idea was it and why? And did you... If you can remember, or if you have a feeling of it, did you take to it right away, or did you say, oh, I have to go to dance class?
Personally, dance has kind of been in my family. My cousin Sarah, she was on the dance team as well. And, you know, my aunt, she took a lot of dance classes from Jeannie, too.
Oh,
and
wow.
So nice. I just kind of always had an interest for it. You know, I love dance, you know. I always tell my mom, more classes.
Oh, right. So, and you took, obviously, you don't do ballet on the dance team.
Yeah.
Did you take ballet, though, at Maddox Dance Studio?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. It's a requirement to be an LBT.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all, yeah. I think ballet was our first form of training. We're all classically trained in ballet.
I'm all for it because it's, well, you tell me, why do you think it might be a good idea to have ballet first? Any idea?
I think ballet is kind of where you learn the ropes for dancing. It teaches, I mean, you learn all your positions there, and ballet is just really the centerfold of all dance in reality.
What did it, does it, I mean, I'm thinking that it gives you a sort of a confidence in your body because you, I mean, you can see in posture and all kinds of
it
things.
Does.
I took ballet from the time I was 5 till the time I was 12. And then they wouldn't let me go on point, so I quit. I was devastated. Because
so
I was built like you, Megan. I was tiny. They said my ankles weren't strong enough. But I'm still dancing. That's the good news.
Yeah.
And you know, you don't have to be a professional in order to let dance be part of your life.
Right.
So how about the others? How did you get on? You said 2.5. That was really
just. Yeah, I started in like... It's called Creative Movement, and it's just basically little kids running around a classroom with flags and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I really got interested in the studio at a really, really young age because my brother danced there, and he was also on the dance team when he was in high school.
Right.
And so it's been a really important... Maddox has been a special place for my family.
Was he the only guy?
His first year, he was the only guy on the team, and then the next year, there was another... male named Anthony on the team.
Okay. At this today, are there any men on the team? Any boys on the team?
No,
not currently. No.
Yeah, I wish they really ought to get with the program. I mean, get smart, boys. This is a great. Well, there's lots of reasons, but I'm speaking strictly in terms of dance and movement and coordination and all those good things. And how about you, Claire?
Well, my older sister was involved in classes. There wasn't really any dance history in my family. I mean, my mom was a cheerleader in high school, but other than that, it was kind of just, I feel like everybody kind of tries out ballet as a young girl. But
In this town.
Oh, yeah.
Not in the big city.
Not a lot of people stick with it, but, you know, everybody tries it at some point. But, and then I started because my older sister was in classes, and then I just of course, found my, you know, found my knack for it, and I really loved it. And then as I grew older, I started to kind of not want to go to class. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, mm-hmm. like being the preteen, distracted, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But as I've gotten older and matured, I've honestly loved it, mm-hmm. you know.
And you take more than, do you still take ballet, or are you now taking the other classes, any of you?
Yeah, I think we've all progressed.
All the other.
Yeah, we all have gotten to a point where
what other classes are there that you've done?
There's been jazz and, you know, hip hop and musical theater. That's one of my personal favorite.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Lyrical.
Yeah,
modern.
Wait, what was that last one?
Lyrical.
No. Oh, I thought you said taco. Oh.
Tap. Taco. Taco class?
Maybe tap. Was
yeah,
it
tap.
Tap. Of course. Of course. Okay, so what is going to happen? And who's your choreographer, by the way?
Carol Chase.
Carol Chase, okay. And what's going to happen on Monday?
Well, it's kind of a big gathering, I guess, like a celebration for, you know, our big victory, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Our peers are going to be there, and we invited our sponsors who we could not have done it without them, you know, all their support. We are so grateful for them. And it's just kind of a big community thing, and we're going to perform for them.
That's what I'm getting to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is at 2:50 on Monday at the high school, and it is open to the public. You may have to, you know, give your name at the door or something if you're not affiliated with the high school for safety's sake, which is just fine. But it's at the, what did they call that building? The brick building?
The brick house.
The brick house. Is that a gymnasium?
Yeah,
the
it's our gym.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
a gymnasium.
Now it's called the Brick. Okay. All right, whatever. So will you be performing something that you did for the state championships? Or you
will? Yeah, we'll be performing our state routine. We have one routine throughout the whole season that we perform with at the competitions, the preliminary competitions, mm-hmm. and then our state competition. It's called the state routine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's we're going to be performing the routine that we won state with.
Okay, that and, you know, it reminds me, the other question I had for you was about choreography. Have you yourselves done some choreography?
Well, throughout the entire dance, we would change things, and almost every single one of us had an input.
You mean in this routine?
In this routine,
oh,
yeah,
really?
Of what we wanted. Like, if we wanted to change something, we could just speak up, and our coaches and choreographers were super understanding with it,
okay,
and they really helped us a lot.
Oh, that's the smartest thing. I mean, it's a collaboration, mm-hmm. really.
Oh, yeah.
What about in other ways? Have you been asked to choreograph? Was that a class that you took at Maddox? Or I know there's judging there, and there are all kinds of things there.
Well, we have young choreographers, mm-hmm. which is like a showcase that the company members of the studio can participate in, where you make up your own dance and then mm-hmm. you perform it.
But it's not required.
It is not
no.
required.
Okay.
But a lot of people participate.
Okay.
It's, yeah.
And
okay.
another thing that Jeannie offers is to help out with some of the like younger classes.
Oh,
and
nice.
Sometimes she lets you help with choreography in their mm-hmm. like little dances and
mm-hmm.
stuff.
That's good experience. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you mentioned your nursing or dance. I'm sure there's a lot more in your life as well. Are any of you involved in music at all?
No.
Isn't that interesting? Okay, except that you dance to music. So, well, I want to wish you the best of luck. And again, congratulations to the whole team. How many people are on the team, women are on the team?
12. And we have
12.
Yeah. And then we have 10 varsity members and 2 JV members.
Dance.
Yes.
I see. Oh, that's why you have those nice jackets. Okay. And so you have freshmen on the team too?
Yeah,
really?
We do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, lovely. So there will be dance forever at Astoria High School. Wonderful.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much to my guests, Megan McCall DeVos, Jessica Barber, and Claire Heligso, representing the Astoria High School Pizzazz Dance Team. And again, they came in first place at State Championships 2015, and there will be a congratulations assembly and presentation this Monday, the 30th. That's their first day back at school, too, at 2:50 p.m. in the Astoria High School gym. Thanks so much for coming
Thank
in.
Thank you for having us.
You bet.